welcome to episode 53 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. This season, I'm sharing new episodes every Monday discussing all things vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Who wants to beta test a 4-week group program with me? I know what I needed when I was exploring veganism, but is that what you need? Send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com with "I'm in" the subject line. In the email itself, just let me know what time zone you're in. I'll reach out with the details to all who sent an email by 11:59 p.m. Eastern on Monday, July 3rd. Once you have the details, you can decide if you want to participate. Today, I am joined by Angel Joaquin, also known as the Angel, the Happy Vegan. Angel is a vegan lifestyle wellness coach, raw vegan culinarian, author, and speaker who completed the Plant-Based Academy Professional Certificate course in plant-based nutrition, lifestyle medicine, and raw food mastery in Ireland. Angel enjoys helping others to thrive on a plant-based diet and lifestyle with a passion for raw veganism at home and while traveling through identifying their whys, exploring a colorful abundance of plant-based ingredients, and benefiting from the global energy and inspiration of the vegan community. By traveling to more than 30 countries, Angel has gained a deep appreciation for many cultures and healthy practices worldwide that have influenced her holistic wellness approach, including herbalism, Ayurveda, and plant-based nutrition with a focus on fresh, organic, raw vegan food mastery. In addition to Angel's personalized one-to-one and group coaching offerings, she leads raw vegan detox challenges and plant-powered vegan beauty workshops. Angel is also the author of 6 books, all which are listed in the show notes, featuring a healthy and vibrant plant-based vegan and raw vegan diet and lifestyle. Angel holds a BA in French and Spanish and an MBA in marketing and international business. Angel is a passionate animal lover, vegan foodie, art lover, world traveler with a regular practice of meditation, deep breathing, journaling, yoga, exercise, ecstatic dance, and a deep desire to contribute to the mindful sustainability of our planet. Talking about raw veganism has never been this fun. Enjoy. Hey, Angel. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Kimberly. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm super happy to be here with you and your listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I am very happy to have you here. So my first question for you, well, comes no surprise, is share your vegan journey with us.
Sure. My pleasure. I will start basically, I think, from my teenage years. The reason I'm doing that is because in hindsight, in retrospect, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. In hindsight, I, from an early age, had an aversion to, animal flesh, the blood in the animal flesh, the consistency with the, the gristle, the bone and all of that. So I always had this feeling like that really was not my preference for food. Mm-hmm. However, growing up in a family on the standard diet, it was expected and accepted that this is what we were supposed to eat. And, I had relatives around me, for example, eating what we call medium rare or rare. In other words, the blood was coming out of the flesh. And that would really, really upset me and gross me out and turn me off. And whenever we had, for example, on the weekends, my mother's day off, bless her soul, was Saturday for cooking. And so we would go to fast food place or, some type of kind of a standard restaurant. And I remember, gravitating towards, I remember gravitating away from the meat burgers and towards the white fish fillet, because there was no blood. Mm-hmm. No gristle, no nothing going on there. And so, because of course it was processed. And of course I didn't understand that, fish are also animals like the land animals. So mm-hmm. I wasn't putting that together in my teenage years. And so I recall, you know, having this aversion to, you know, animal-based foods. I also called myself lactose intolerant because that's socially accepted. Mm-hmm. Because 2/3 of the global human population does not digest, you know, lactose naturally anyway. You know, we as humans call it lactose intolerance. I personally have come to believe that we're just not supposed to be consuming, you know, any sources from other animals. However, mm-hmm. of course, I didn't know that then. So I avoided, you know, as much as I could, what we call dairy. Eggs gave me terrible indigestion, so I would try and stay away from those as well. So when I was 18, 19, in my first year of university, because I was always into health and into like health food stores, I stumbled into a health food store and I discovered this book, you know, about vegetarianism. And it was like in a community and they had all these amazing recipes and they were what you would call like more of a stricter vegetarian, not the lacto-ovo vegetarian consuming dairy and eggs. They were consuming plant foods. However, they did include honey, as I recall. Mm-hmm. So I resonated with the content of this book. I started to make really amazing, yummy, awesome recipes from this book, you know, and I called myself vegetarian. And then I went home, you know, for the holidays from university, from college. And, you know, there was like hand wringing and consternation. No, you can't eat. No, you have to eat what everybody else is eating. No. And I caved and I gave in and I went back to eating more or less a standard diet. And fast forward, you know, several years after that, I had a health issue. And back in those days, I'm in midlife. So back in those days, it was more going to a bookstore. And I went to a bookstore and I picked up a book on women's health by a female doctor. And in the book, it was recommended basically to give up most animal-based content. Mm. I also learned about, for example, the mercury in the oceans and the waterways and how that affects, you know, seafood, as we call it. And so I really tried to stay away from most of the animal-based. So, for example, back then I started to consume soy milk and soy yogurt because we didn't have as many choices as mm-hmm. we do now. So I was mainly, you know, eating a plant forward diet, a plant rich diet, but I didn't know about veganism. I didn't know about the plant-based diet back then. So I remained what we call vegetarian pescatarian for over 20 years. And then it was 5 years ago, I was in Budapest, Hungary, on a yoga workshop trip as a student, as a participant. And people around me, you know, we would share meals during the, you know, the pauses in between, you know, our classes. And so people figured out that I was kind of vegetarian, pescatarian. One lady in the group, we were friends and we actually were staying in the same neighborhood in Budapest. And she took me to a restaurant in Budapest. And I could not believe that I did not have to ask for no meat, no fish, no seafood, no dairy, no eggs. It was just all plant foods. It didn't register to me what was happening here. And I was thrilled. And the food was super yummy. You know, Hungarian dishes made with plants. And I was blown away. And I said, I don't understand this. I have to figure this out. Because I was living in my own bubble, even though this was only 5 years ago. I was not the type of person to, you know, surf the web and, you know, really spend a lot of time on social media. So the whole plant-based conversation wasn't coming to me. The whole vegan conversation was not coming to me. Maybe it came to me and it just didn't resonate. I mm-hmm. really couldn't tell you what happened. But once I discovered that there was a way to eat in a way that I thought was healthy, again, from a dietary perspective, not understanding the animal rights and ethical perspectives and elements, I just decided, oh my gosh, I have to figure this out. So I started to, you know, search on the internet, you know, vegan restaurants in Budapest. And I found another one. I was like, oh my gosh. So I went there and I had, you know, like, you know, a vegan burger and some vegan, other vegan dishes. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is for me. I have to do it. It was like, oh my gosh, I have to figure this out. And so I just basically, you know, just went deep diving down this whole new world. At the beginning, I thought that being vegan meant it was a diet. And so I started to call myself vegan. I started to identify as vegan. And then little by little, I discovered, no, it's a lifestyle. It also includes, you know, our products beyond the plate. It includes our skincare, clothing, furnishings, travel, transportation, etc. And so it has been a journey for me. I just want to thank the person who took me to that, restaurant. She identified as vegetarian, by the way. I don't know what she identifies as now, but I'm just so grateful that she took me there. And I'm grateful to myself and to everybody else out there doing the work, that I was able to find more information and more resources about the vegan lifestyle.
That's awesome. I love this story. I love it. I too spent a lot of time being vegetarian. I was never pescatarian. I didn't really eat fish when I was eating animals. So that was easy for me. Oh, no seafood, right? No problem. My thing was I was stuck on cheese for a long time. So when I finally, and I'd been aware of veganism. So it like, I try not to be judgmental of myself because I'm not judgmental of others who are working through that. So I'm like, if I'm not going to give them a hard time, like I'm not going to give me a hard time. I knew about veganism, knew I wanted to be vegan, was just stuck on cheese, didn't know how to cook. I was dating, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. I was dating and was like being told constantly how difficult it was to be out with me because I was vegetarian. And so to think like, well, if I take it the next step and go vegan, and this was in, you know, like the early 2000s. So like you were saying, limited options, not like it is now. So I was kind of trying to figure myself out. And at that point, like I wasn't ready, despite the fact that the animals needed me, I wasn't ready to be vegan. Now, you know, married, husband's vegan, all good, tons of options, no issues. But you are actively dating, right? And so you're kind of still in, you're living in this world trying to navigate. What's your approach to that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to applaud you and your husband for, you know, like being on the same page. That is so beautiful.
That's awesome.
Hashtag vegan couple. Yes, I am currently single, I have a strong preference for a vegan man, so I'm waiting for my vegan king to show up, and I am participating in some of the vegan singles groups on Facebook, so periodically, every X number of months, I'll like post my profile and, you know, and my photo and, you know, get some guys inboxing me, etc. I've had some interesting conversations with guys all over the world. My last, shall we say, series of gentlemen was just about a month ago when I relaunched my profile. And it's so interesting. I think that dating in the whole vegan world is a bit similar to dating in the regular world, but this is what I'm finding out. Just a few comments on this whole thing from my perspective. What I'm finding out is, first of all, it's awesome that there's so many vegan groups all around the world. On another note, though, some of the people in the group only want to date people in their state or in their country. Mm-hmm. So they are not open to, you know, trying to figure something out at the beginning. And then, of course, if it goes further, then all the more beautiful it is. So there's that. Some people really, really just want to like stick to whomever is close to them. I was chatting with a few gentlemen who had approached me, through Messenger on Facebook, since I'd posted on the Facebook groups. And, you know, just like guys who are not vegan, sometimes it just fizzles out. Mm-hmm. They stop writing me, or I kind of say to them, I really wish you the best. And I hope you find your match. Basically, I'm saying I don't think I'm your match. Mm-hmm. I've had video calls with guys from the group, and that's been very interesting as well. However, I didn't feel we were a match. I had a very, very interesting and awkward and surprising situation about a month ago with a guy who is in the vegan group. And to my great surprise, he seems to be plant-based and not vegan, because his perspective towards animals was, shall we say, not very compassionate. And I was very surprised by this, because I thought that if a person at our age is in that group, then they understand what veganism is. And so that was quite challenging. Yeah. Those conversations with him, that was not the only, shall we say, incompatibility. But for me, I cannot accept to be with someone who, has a certain, shall we say, lack of care and kindness towards animals. And so I wished him the best and, just kind of exited that conversation. I'm also on the standard mainstream dating apps, which is quite a challenge for me as a vegan. I have had conversations with guys who are not vegan. One guy said to me, in a chat back and forth, something like, he hunts and he thinks it's sustainable. And I just thought, no, I can't deal with this conversation either. Yeah. I had a guy who said he was kind of vegetarian, but he would like laugh about, eating animals, or that others were eating animals. Like, it was just very, it just wasn't a match, basically. Yeah. Talk to guys who are, admittedly omnivores on the standard diet. And, for me, it's difficult because I don't want to be the type of person who's trying to impose my lifestyle onto anybody. So I just kind of go about my own life, and, they comment and they say, wow, you're so happy. Wow. How come you're always so happy? And one guy told me recently, he said, it must be the fruit, it must be all those fruits.
Right.
Now, for those vegans out there, the good news is, on these standard mainstream apps, is that on some of them, you have the option to put that you are vegan or plant-based. For me, I put vegan. You have that option. If you want, you can put that there, or, as your dietary preference. Some of them have it like as a dietary preference, you can put that there. And of course, in my profile, I clearly state that I'm vegan and I'm seeking a vegan gentleman. I don't know if they're really reading the profile. I don't really know what's happening there either. Because most of the comments I get are about my physical appearance, and they don't really comment on what on earth I wrote. So I don't really know what's happening there. So it's very, very challenging. I persist. I persist in being optimistic.
Good for you.
Open to the possibility that my vegan man is on his way to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was on the mainstream dating websites as well. And I was a vegetarian at the time. So that was in my profile. And I also, lived with one cat. So I had in my profile, you don't have to like cats, but you have to like my cat. And I do not cook or serve animal products under any circumstances. And so I felt really lucky, because I've met a lot of vegans now where they were already with their partner, and then they went vegan. And so now there's kind of, and even my mom, who's vegan now, like, my dad's not vegan. So she'll occasionally make food for him, and it's not vegan food. And I know that there's this struggle inside her. I never had to do that, because I was able to say right from the start, look, You want somebody to make you a, you know, chicken dinner, that I'm not your girl. So keep moving. And so I was really lucky that way. And I think you're in that same position where you can be like, this is it. And if you are not okay with this, then we aren't a good match. And it does, it helps you weed out so many people. And then with my husband, he wasn't vegetarian or vegan when I met him, but we met at work. We became friends first. I actually had a boyfriend when he and I met, but we met and we became like instant best friends. And so he got to know me that way. And by the time we were dating, I didn't have to explain any of it. He was well aware. He had already kind of started learning from me, but I was planting those seeds without realizing it, because when we first met, it wasn't like, hey, I think we might date. We met in a different circumstance. So, and now, you know, he's vegan and he's been vegan for a few years now, and it's so amazing. Yeah. So yes, your vegan king is out there, and maybe he's even listening to this podcast. So don't worry. You'll be able to contact Angel directly. All the info will be in the show notes.
Yes. My DMs are open, as the young people say.
That's so right.
Slide into my DMs by all means. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. I'm super soft. Don't be shy.
I love it. So good. What are some tips that you might have for another vegan who is dating and just trying to navigate that world?
Yes. Well, I think you alluded to it just now. I think we need to be very, very clear about our objectives, about our goals, about our compatibilities, our philosophies. You know, for me, it's similar to if a person has a particular religious belief, a particular political belief, a particular life view or life vision, philosophy that's super important to them, and they want to honor that and respect that and find someone who's compatible with that, who is in alignment with that. If I were, you know, in my 20s, I would maybe be more flexible, but being in midlife, I really just don't want to go through those awkward conversations. I'm the type of person, I don't really like conflict or you know, debates anyway, to be honest with you. And so, I would recommend you be very, very clear. I would recommend you be clear with yourself first, and then you're clear with everyone else, with the world. I would also recommend you join the Facebook singles groups, because they're quite a few. They have for different age ranges, for example. There are like four or five of them out there on Facebook. You just, you know, type in vegan singles in your search bar on Facebook, and the whole list will come up. You can join them. Post your profile. I would recommend, don't be shy. Post your profile. You know, of course, you know, protect your privacy, protect your own safety, and, you know, not give out like detailed information to total strangers. But I would recommend that you, you know, open yourself up to, you know, texting back and forth through Facebook Messenger. I would recommend you hop on some video calls through Facebook Messenger and see each other remotely, and you know, kind of tap into each other's energy, and kind of, you know, just talk about, you know, the important elements for you. Some people call them deal breakers, some people call them must-haves, etc. So I would recommend that. And then if you're on the you know, I guess on the mainstream apps, put in your profile exactly what you want. You want a vegan person, you know, you are vegan, you know, use those little interest buttons that they have there, those little filters. I haven't found any dating apps that allow you to actually filter on foods only or plant-based only, as you're able to filter on age, or what else can you filter on? Height.
Wow. But not dietary preference or lifestyle. Okay.
Right. So I really, 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 really wish that they would come up with those filters.
Yeah.
That would help a lot. There are also some strictly vegan and vegetarian dating apps out there, such as Vegly, Grazer.
I love that. What a great name that is. Great.
Yeah. There's also one called Veg Pal, which is for friends and dating. Mm. And there is Veggie Connection for friends and dating as well. I think it's, let's see, it's a Veggie Connection. I believe it is. And I've met some, you know, guys through there as well. Yes, Veggie Connection. So for friends and dating. So if you want to kind of narrow the scope a bit, then maybe you could check out Veggie Connection or Vegly or Grazer or Veg Pal. There may be others out there. I'm not sure. but yeah. And then of course, you know, I guess just be open, you know, maybe if you frequent some vegan, you know, restaurants or establishments. And so you may be more likely to, you know, meet and encounter some other, you know, vegans who are also single, maybe, I don't know. So that may be an idea. And then, of course, there's some, you know, vegan meetups. You can go to those either in person or virtually. Or set up your own meetup if you, you know, if you have that kind of personality and that kind of energy, and you want to set up your own meetups, you can just set up your own meetups, and you can even make it for vegan singles if you want.
Yeah.
That way you get the, you know, I guess people who are interested also in meeting others. So those would be my main tips.
Okay, thank you. So let's talk a little more about you, Angel, and what you do. Your focus right now, I believe, is raw vegan, right?
Yes.
Tell me, I got a few questions.
Sure.
What is raw vegan? What made you want to be a raw vegan? And what kind of food do you eat as a raw vegan?
Awesome. All very, very interesting and appropriate question. And it is confusing for some people. So a raw vegan can have various definitions. There's no one standard definition. However, the definition that I go by, which is in a raw vegan diet book that I found, by Brenda Davis and a co-author, their definition basically is if you're consuming 75% or more of your food in weight that is raw plant foods, you're considered raw vegan. If you are consuming between 50% and 75% of your diet in weight that is raw plant foods, you're considered high raw vegan. As to, let's see, why I became interested, yes. Well, strangely enough, about 20 years ago, I had a weight issue, and I was being told that I needed a prescribed substance to get my cholesterol, you know, in order, and I was told I really need to lose a lot of weight, and I was seeing a nutritionist, and I was vegetarian, pescatarian at the time. I somehow created this diet for myself where I would have fruits and nuts for breakfast, rice, beans, vegetables, and herbs and spices for lunch, and then fruits and nuts for dinner. And I lost a ton of weight. I lost over 80 pounds. And I got my cholesterol in order, got my weight in order. I don't know how I came up with this concoction of a diet, to be honest. Yeah. It felt normal. At the beginning, it was very hard for me to eat the raw fruits because I wasn't used to eating quantities of fruits. And so I actually started off drinking juices out of a glass bottle from the supermarket. I would get like organic apple juice, for example, to get my palate, to get me used to even consume fruits. I just didn't have that. I wasn't even a salad person.
Oh, wow. You know,
just so used to processed food and just heavy processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Rice, pasta, bread, you know, pastries, cookies, everything. And so somehow, like I said, about 20 years ago, I came up with this diet. It was plant forward. I didn't know anything about plant-based or vegan at the time. Then about in 20, so I became vegan in 2018 when I was on my trip, you know, kind of as a result of my trip to Hungary in Budapest. And then in 2019, so about a year and a quarter into my vegan journey, I don't know what it was, but I guess I was like just kind of having a craving for something more because I started off as a junk food vegan. So I was eating lots of, you know, vegan burgers and French fries and pastries and cookies. If it said vegan, I was like, yes, please. Yep. Those
possibly too. I was please.
Yeah. I was so thrilled that there was even, you know, there was even a vegan option when I was just elated, just so excited and happy. And so I don't know what it was. Like I said, fast forward to 2019. And I guess I was just like, you know, a little bit like searching for more energetically. And all of a sudden, I just started to see YouTube videos of raw vegans. Mm. And, you know, 2, 3, 4, I guess, different raw vegans came into my sphere. And I just kind of started to dive deep with them and look at what they were doing. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, they're eating raw fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds. I could do this. I used to do this before I could do this. I just told myself, yep, this is what I want to do. I just want to do it. So I just kind of jumped right in. That's how I am. I just jump right in at the deep. I don't even know what I'm doing half the time. I'm just like, you know, just like floundering around, you know, just trying to find my way. Yeah, I started to, you know, obviously study, you know, what on earth were these raw vegans eating and doing and why and what. And I discovered that basically the key motivation behind a lot of raw vegan eating is to preserve the nutrients in the food, because when we cook the foods, we are destroying some of the nutrients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a debate as to whether we're destroying some of the enzymes in the foods. And so I just decided, yeah, I guess that makes sense, you know? And yeah, I mean, you know, when we cook food, you know, for example, we are getting a different flavor. It changes the flavor. It changes the consistency, mm-hmm. the texture. It changes the color. It changes the aroma. So it changes the food when we cook it. So I thought, yeah, this sounds normal. This sounds acceptable to me. So why not? I'm just going to do it. So I just, like I said, I just dive right in. And So I kind of, you know, I guess I was what you would call raw vegan, because more than 3/4 of my diet was raw. And then when I would travel, I would then bounce back and forth between cooked vegan and raw vegan, because I'm very adventurous. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they have this dish here and this activity that's vegan. Oh my gosh, I want to try that. But I would still gravitate to the raw vegan options. You know, I started to like buy fresh pressed juices, for example, when I was traveling. So those would be raw, like, you know, they would keep me hydrated and get my nutrients in. I would find like salad bars and smoothie places and, you know, so I could get a lot of raw foods, you know, and of course, when I was at home or traveling, I would, you know, mainly eat a lot of fruits. So fast forward, I guess, to like nowadays, if you will. So I am, basically, I would say 90-something% raw, maybe 95% raw. Wow. Periodically I'll have a cooked meal, but I don't, you know, I feel like it makes me feel more sluggish. It slows down my digestion a little bit. And so it makes me a little bit more, more lethargic. So I prefer, to just stick with my, you know, raw foods. So I eat a lot of, you know, fresh raw fruits, you know, a sprinkling of seeds, you know, nuts for me are a slippery slope, because I love nuts so much and I have to be careful how many I'm going to be eating.
They're so good.
I know. Oh, and of course, you know, vegetables, you know, like, I'll make like raw tacos with like lettuce leaves, like the romaine leaves. And then I'll just, you know, fill them with, you know, some type of dip or spread, some type of, you know, fruit. And or I'll just eat like I have a bag of carrots. And I'll just like, you know, in the evenings, I'll just like snack on those, maybe eat some whole fruits. Like last night, my kind of evening meal was, you know, a couple of huge carrots and an apple and some leftover smoothie. Cause I make such a huge batch of smoothies. And anybody who follows me on social media can see I'm in love with smoothies. And so I just have like just a huge batch of smoothies going, throughout the day and the evening. And so I'll just, you know, sip on those as well. And my smoothies are basically meals, because they have the fruits, the vegetables, and the herbs and spices in them. And so, and then for my, you know, for the fat component of like seeds, like flax seeds, hemp seeds, chia seeds, I will make that more for the evening time and make like a dip or a spread for the evening time. And so, yeah, I feel my best on raw, to be honest. And I really love it.
Yeah. You're kind of selling me on it. Not that I feel like you're selling me on it. I don't mean it that way, but you are so vibrant. I love your energy. And it's funny because, you know, when I think about the foods I love, they're like cooked foods. I mean, I love fresh fruit and I love a lot of raw vegetables, but not all of them. Yeah. And so when, you know, I'm looking at your, let's say looking at you, your videos, your photos, your handle, the happy vegan. And I was like, no raw vegan can be happy.
I am.
You're living proof that you can.
I think, you know, it's supposedly a fact that raw plant foods have the highest vibration, the highest frequency. There is a scale of like of metrics, and I think they're called angstroms. And if you look at the scale, you will see that the raw fruits and vegetables are at the very, very top. And the cooked animal base is at the very, very bottom.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's no energy. There's no life force left in the cooked animal base at the bottom of the scale, which to me is an indication that that's not the optimal diet for humans. And you know, the animals in the wild who eat other animals, they are consuming them raw.
Mm-hmm.
So there is still what one might consider some type of life force in those foods. But again, I'm not, you know, going to talk about that anymore.
Right.
However, it's for a comparison is really my point of the raw plant foods. And then, you know, and then of course the cooked plant foods, of course, it depends how they're cooked. I guess if they're steamed or boiled, you know, then, you know, you will keep more life and more energy in those foods. But then of course, if we're like deep frying them or grilling them, then of course, you know, we're really dehydrating them. And I think it's the hydration too. And the fiber that really, really make a big difference. I know in my experience, you know, by eating the raw versions, you're keeping that hydration and you're keeping that fiber, which are, you know, two very, very important elements. And I want to make a comment on what you said, because I also was very limited in what I was eating. Even as a plant-based eater, when I first started, on my vegan journey. And it was when I became raw that I started to focus on these other plant foods that I had never eaten before, or at least I had never prepared them myself before. And so what I started to do was, let's say in the vegetable section, in the fresh produce section, I started to buy like rutabaga and celery root and fennel and, you know, beets of different colors, and carrots of different colors, and leafy herbs and like dill, or you know, parsley, like fresh parsley and all of that, and I would put them in the blender and make smoothies out of them. And I would combine the savory grounding vegetables like the celery root or the rutabaga or the parsnips or the turnips, the radishes. I would combine those maybe with a sweet fruit like apples and pears. And that way, well, you know, I love sweet and savory anyway. And that way I could cover up some of the, shall we say, less familiar flavors in those other vegetables, but I was still getting the nutrients. I was still getting all of the energy of those foods. And so that has been the way that I have handled these unfamiliar foods that, you know, like I would not pick up, you know, a celery root or, rutabaga or parsnip or a turnip and just eat it like that. Although what I do is, even when I buy them, before I put them in the blender and make these, you know, concoctions of smoothies or spreads or dips, what I do though is I do love to taste the actual you know, raw plants. So for example, even when I'm like, you know, taking the skin off of beets, for example, I will eat a little piece of the beets just to see how it tastes like on its own, or radishes. I'll eat them by themselves just to see how they taste on their own, or, you know, parsnips, even I will just eat them on their own. Fennel, you know, I'll just eat a little piece on its own, you know, bok choy like that. I'll just eat a little piece. And, you know, what's been such a revelation to me is even like the flavors, like some of these foods, like they smell and taste like perfume. Like they have so much aroma going on. So it has been a journey for me, and you know, it's a journey that's allowed me to explore different foods, and I look at it as an experience and a journey of abundance. You know, it's like an adventure. I don't really see it as a limiting experience of scarcity, like, oh my gosh, you know, I only have, you know, oh my gosh, this is such a boring diet or a boring lifestyle. No, I see it really as a very abundant and beautiful lifestyle of variety.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, I'm thinking about, I'm so inspired, by the way, but I was just thinking about, my husband and I used to frequent a farmer's market before we got married. We lived in an apartment in a different town, and there was this farmer's market that was great. And there was one organic farmer. His son was always with him, and his son was like 15. And we still talk about it to this day. There was one day where the 15-year-old, you know, it was kind of slow. So he's just kind of hanging out, setting things up. And in one hand, he has a head of romaine lettuce, and he's just taken bites out of it. And the two of us stood there and watched him for a second. And we still to this day are like, I want so badly to be the person who picks up a head of romaine lettuce and just bites into it and is so happy to have that snack. Yep, that's what I was thinking. That is you.
That's me. I actually eat romaine by itself. In addition to, of course, using it as my like taco shell, you know, to put in my raw tacos. Or today, actually, I just made a concoction of a head of romaine lettuce, almost the full head, because I had filled up the blender with so many other ingredients, but almost a one full head of romaine, and then a grapefruit, and some apples, and then a bunch of herbs and spices and water, and a lemon, because I love lemon too. And I put all that in there, and it's a concoction of in and of itself, but I love munching on lettuce just by itself too, to be honest.
So tell me about, like, you can even use today as an example or not, whatever you want. Like, walk us through what you eat in a day and what that looks like.
Yes. So in the morning, my preference is to have a smoothie of some sort. So like this morning, my smoothie consisted of apples, a bunch of herbs and spices, some matcha powder, and water. So my base is usually water. And then I just put a bunch of fruits and herbs and spices in there. And in the mornings, I like matcha tea, the powdered tea. I put that in there, and I make like the full blender is just, so the blender is full. So, and I just pour those into mason jars and sip on those, and I'm kind of going about my morning and all of that. And then, for lunch, I actually, I ate out, and I had, I had two raw, because the sizes of the bowls are not that huge. So I had two raw vegan salads. So it's on a bed of spring mix, you know, the different little tender leafy greens. And then on top of that, there are sprouts, sunflower seeds. I got a side of guacamole with za'atar with the, you know, little spices on top of it. And it has like a lemon dressing, lemon something dressing on there. So I pour that over. And then carrots and beets, spiralized, so raw. I had it's called a no-bake cookie. I can't be sure it's totally raw, but I know it wasn't like in the oven kind of.
Yeah.
So that has like, you know, sweet fruits like I think it's cranberry and currants and sunflower seeds and almonds and chocolate. And it's all plant-based, all vegan and hot tea. I like either raw tea, like just with room temperature water, or, you know, like filtered water, or a warm tea, because, you know, the weather is a little bit all over the place sometimes.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I go somewhere, you know, I'm having a meal somewhere, I'll have like a warm tea. So I had like a warm, kind of jasmine tea. And then, for my evening meal, which I was just whipping up a little bit of it before I spoke with you. That was a combination, as I was just sharing, of apples, grapefruit, lemon, herbs, a bunch of herbs and spices, lettuce, and water. And I just have a big batch of that going. I just sip on that, to be honest. Yeah. So that's pretty much what I eat. That's what I'm eating today. Later on, I may snap on some, carrots, because I find in the evenings I like very grounding foods. I don't eat as many fruits in the evenings, because the fruits, you know, have such a high vibration, high energy, high vibe. You know, that high frequency, you know, that natural sugar that we need, you know, from head to toe. And however, in the evenings, I will have some fruit. However, I also gravitate more towards like the leafy greens, like the lettuce and carrots, for example. Like those are very grounding. And, you know, carrots are so just so yummy to me, and also, loads of fiber, and they're very sweet as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that we get those natural sugars, and of course the nutrients. And so, yeah, that's what I kind of munch on and sip on throughout the day.
So I'm trying to think of some questions that I wonder if someone who's never had any exposure to raw might ask. And my first question, because you kind of hit on it just a little bit, is, are you cold a lot?
No, but I know that some people are. And that is why I put together an ebook about thriving. Basically, it's about thriving on a raw vegan diet in winter and year round, because I have repeatedly seen people saying, no, I can't go raw, especially in the winter. It's too cold. I have to wait until the summer. Or some people do what is called raw till four, or high raw vegan, in the sense that they consume, let's say, their first two meals will be raw, and then their evening meal or their last meal will be a cooked meal. Also, in the raw vegan world, there is a way to gently warm your food, and that is in a dehydrator.
Okay.
And a dehydrator is an appliance that many raw vegans use, or many raw plant eaters use, and even on the standard diet, like some people have them as well. They use dehydrators. And what the dehydrator does for a person who wants to keep their food raw is, because the definition of raw is no higher than basically 118 degrees Fahrenheit, or I think it's 45 degrees or 48 degrees Celsius. I'm not as great with Celsius. I apologize.
Me neither.
You really try.
Yeah. American here, they don't teach us that.
I'm so confused sometimes. I don't remember if it's 45 degrees or 48 degrees Celsius. So with the dehydrator, it heats it up to that level so that technically the nutrients are still maintained in the food. In other words, we haven't cooked the food to the extent that the nutrients have been destroyed. So, you know, imagine, so 118 degrees, Fahrenheit, that's basically what people consider to be like, you know, more or less the highest temperature of the sun, right? Because one of the concepts of the raw vegan lifestyle is that some people call it like sun-cooked food, or, you know, living food, natural food, undenatured food. You're not destroying the nutrients and the enzymes with heat. So some raw vegans use dehydrators, and that way you can gently have a warm meal. For example, you can make dehydrated crackers, dehydrated cakes, breads, cookies, burgers. Some people dehydrate mushrooms. And so, you know, you'll have a gentle warming of the food. And so for some people, that's very helpful. Or they will make like a raw soup in a blender, and then they can put that soup, let's say, in a heat-proof bowl, for example, and or a dish, and they can put that in their dehydrator, and it will gently warm it to like about 118 Fahrenheit. And then, you know, so they're getting around it. Or you could, like, you know, put your food in like a bain-marie, like a warm water bath. And, you know, that way your meal is gently warmed from the outside in the in the bowl or the vessel in which you put it. I personally don't have that you know, challenge. However, what I tell people too, you might have a lack of circulation. In other words, you know, maybe a little bit of exercise might help. I also use warming spices throughout the year, not just in the winter. And so spices can also add an element of warmth, of quote, heat, unquote, to a raw dish. I put, you know, warming spices and cooling spices in my smoothies, in my juices, in my dips and spreads, in my soups. You know, cayenne pepper is warming. Cinnamon is warming. Let's see, what else would be, some of the other, allspice, like nutmeg, like, you know, there's so many, turmeric, like black pepper, some of those, you know, herbs and spices are warming and grounding, I would say too, like the grounding herbs, like, for example, thyme and dill and basil, you know, those kind of more earthy, leafy herbs might add some warmth to, you know, to the meals that you're making as well. But I do understand that some people feel that. I say throw on a sweater or turn your heat up or exercise or do some deep breathing or take a warm shower or, you know, rub some essential oils on your body or give yourself a massage or something to get your circulation going. I think it might be a circulation issue, but it also might be, you know, well, you just have it in your mind that because it's cold outside, you need to also eat something warm. So I don't tell people not to do that. That's totally up to them. But some people, yeah, they do find it challenging to stay raw when it's a little bit chilly. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't found that to be an issue for me personally, no.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I was just, I was thinking about that idea that, like, well, it's cold out and I need to eat warm foods to keep myself warm. But then it reminded me, and this is just like a anecdotal thing, right? That I was at a college football game years and years ago in the dead of winter. And I got a soda. So I know soda on ice though. And it was like 20 degrees outside. And I was less cold once, like when I was drinking the soda, than when I had been having the coffee, the hot coffee that I'd had earlier. And I was like, oh, maybe it's kind of maintaining me in this one kind of temperature range. And so I'm able to acclimate to my environment better. Just a thought.
Well, and you reminded me of how people eat ice cream in the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent quite a bit of time in Spain, and in Spain, they like to drink hot coffee in the summer. like it's like, but isn't it hot? No. They like to drink hot coffee. I mean, they're also famous for their raw chilled soup, gazpacho, though they have that going for us.
Right.
Well. Yeah, it's very interesting. That whole, yeah, because I think of the whole ice cream situation too. A lot of people eat ice cream in the winter and they're super fine with it.
Right. But then they'd be like, oh, I can't be raw because I'll be cold. Like, well, okay, but you're having ice cream. It's 19 degrees outside, but whatever.
Yeah, that's a very good point you're making.
So one of the things that you do, so tell me about like what you do for work, because I know that you run some challenges around raw vegan and things like that. So tell the listeners like what you do and how they can work with you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah. So I love coaching the world to thrive on plants if they want to go whole food, plant-based vegan, junk food vegan, raw vegan, somewhere in between. I just love, coaching people along their journey, wherever they are. If they want to go plant forward, plant slant, plant rich, plant based, vegan, raw vegan. And then I have these raw vegan detox challenges. I started them this spring. So I had one in March and one in April. Basically it was a 7-day challenge. Every day I had like a masterclass video, recipes, meal ideas, motivation, homework. And I also included a one-on-one consultation. So a few people took those. And then I have a plant-based vegan beauty workshop. So if anyone is interested, I can do that one-on-one or in a group, however you wish. You can find that information on my website, angelthehappyvegan.com. So you can check that out. And those are my main coaching offerings. And then, of course, I'm happy to, do anything customized if you want, a particular workshop or a particular consultation on a particular topic. And then I have some ebooks over on Amazon that you can check out, such as like a super simple raw vegan meal plan to just get you started, or some tips on getting started as a raw vegan. I already mentioned the thriving as a raw vegan in winter or year round, going vegan as singles, couples, families, and friends. That's like general vegan, not just raw vegan. Mm-hmm. I also have a vegan Valentine ebook because as you yourself, Kimberly, you have made it clear that you are vegan for the animals and I am vegan for the animals. I personally feel that that is the definition of vegan. And so, in my vegan love kind of Valentine book, I speak about my love for veganism, which of course is towards the animals. And yes, of course, I include the planet as well. And of course, humans.
Yeah, that is really beautiful. If you were to give 3 tips to someone saying, I'm thinking about going raw vegan, but I'm not sure, so I'm not ready to sign up for a program or anything like that. What are 3 things that you would tell them to do today to get started?
Great, great question. Thank you. I would say number 1, figure out why you want to go raw vegan. What's your reason? What's your why? What's your motivation? What's your vision for yourself? What's your mission for yourself? Figure that out, number 1. Number 2, I would say educate yourself. Figure out what on earth is raw vegan? What qualifies? What is defined as raw vegan? I threw out a couple definitions that are out there. I recommend you do your own research and study on what on earth is raw veganism. And number 3, I would say follow some raw vegans or high raw vegans, because there are many, many, many high raw vegans as well. Again, those are people who consume roughly 1/2 to 3/4 of their consumption, their dietary consumption in weight as raw plant foods. And see what they're eating. See if any of that appeals to you. Does a cold pressed juice in the morning, an organic cold pressed juice, does that appeal to you? Maybe you want to add that. Does a fresh organic smoothie appeal to you with all plant ingredients? Maybe you want to add that for your breakfast. Maybe next time you go for lunch, you decide you will have, a fully raw or a predominantly raw, mainly raw salad, plant foods, maybe dabble into some recipes and, see what other raw vegans or high raw vegans are sharing. out there. Maybe even go to a raw vegan restaurant the next time you are searching for an outing, you're searching for a location. You can look on places like Happy Cow and A Billion, or you can just search on the internet just how you find your locals place, you know, pizza or whatever kind of cuisine you're interested in. And you put that in your search bar, you can put raw vegan in your search bar and see what comes up there. So I probably gave more than three. I apologize.
That is A-okay.
I get excited. So I apologize for going over the three.
You do not need to apologize. Don't you worry. Angel, this has been so wonderful. I've got one more question for you.
Totally.
Tell me about hummus. Like, how do we do hummus when we're raw?
Yes. First of all, hummus, I think, is such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dish. It is so versatile. I want to applaud you for, you know, using the expression, did you bring the hummus? I think it's just so adorable and awesome and beautiful. I really do. Before I became raw vegan, I was a huge fan of hummus. When I became raw, I was like, wow, you know, what, you know, how does this work? And there is a raw vegan who is very, very, very famous worldwide. And she is known as Fully Raw Christina.
Mm.
And Fully Raw Christina prepares raw vegan hummus dishes. And I was inspired by her at the beginning of my journey in 2019 on my raw vegan portion of my vegan journey. And I am still inspired by her up until today, and probably I will be for a long time. And she has, prepared a raw vegan hummus recipe. And so on her YouTube channel, for example, on her app, I'm sure it's on there too, and probably other places, she has a raw vegan hummus recipe. Now, because I don't follow exactly the way she prepares her meals, for example, I prefer not to use oils if I can help it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has oils in her, recipe sometimes. Or anyway, but I have been very inspired by her raw vegan recipe for hummus. And I basically modified her recipe to suit my preferences and my
good
ingredients. And so, but what I would recommend folks, check out Fully Raw Christina. She's on YouTube, she's on Instagram, she's on Facebook, and I don't know where else she is. And she has, you know, lots going on. And so, you know, she gives a really cool way to prepare a raw vegan hummus. And so basically what you would do is like soak your chickpeas or your garbanzo beans, however you prefer to refer to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you would soak them. I think she may soak hers for like 8 hours or something like that. I personally like to soak mine for a day or two, and I just kind of, you know, change the water.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three times a day. So I'll you know, soak my beans for a day or two. And you put them in the blender with, like, you know, you can put like lemon, and she uses tahini. You can put like, you know, different herbs and spices, and she puts, I think, like olive oil in hers, and you can just make it your own, you know. I love it. I think you can also enjoy hummus raw. I have had obviously some super yummy cooked plant-based hummuses. I recall having one in Madrid that was with beets, and so the color was beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
Mm. Yeah, and it was super yummy. And I think we can just make the hummus our own, and you would be the expert on this topic, not myself. I'm not the expert on this topic. But even my dips and hummuses and spreads, you know, I will add tons of herbs and spices. You can even add, like, if you want to add superfoods to them, like like wheatgrass, if you want to, like, just add some, you know, some kind of, like, a green color to it, and also get the nutrients from the wheatgrass, maybe. You can add, like I said, tons of herbs and spices. spices. And if you don't want to use tahini or, you know, sunflower seeds, you could use like flax seeds. I love using flax seeds in my dips and spreads as well. So there's so many different ways you can do it. You know, I even put fruit in my dips and spreads. I will put like even apple along with, let's say, because I like sweet and savory. So yeah. I like to, you know, put like apple, for example, along, let's say if I'm doing a raw hummus with chickpeas or garbanzo beans, or maybe just doing a dip or a spread, not necessarily with beans or peas in them, but I'll just, you know, put like fruit and a little bit of water and herbs and spices, and then the flaxseed or even chia seeds or hemp seeds, mm-hmm. and you blend it up, and it'll make like a really nice dip.
Ah, okay. So creative. I love the creativity.
I love it.
Angel, thank you so, so much for joining me tonight. I cannot wait for everyone to hear this. And all of the links, as always, will be in the show notes. So they'll be able to connect with you. They'll be able to check out your books and purchase them. And also Raw Christina. So I'm sure she'll be thankful for that plug. Just, yeah, thank you. So inspirational. I really am so grateful you were here.
Well, thank you, Kimberly, again, for inviting me. And I want to just, you know, thank your community for listening in and tuning in and for supporting you, Kimberly, on all of your good work and, spreading this beautiful philosophy around the world. And thank you so much for inviting me. It's been my huge pleasure and honor to chat with you today. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back. Angel's energy and excitement is so infectious, I wound up snacking on carrots while editing this episode, which meant a good amount of pausing because I could not hear over the crunching. Check out the show notes for Angel's tips that she provided both on dating and raw veganism, written out so you can take a screenshot and take it with you. To connect with Angel, visit her website, angelthehappyvegan.com. You can find all of her books on Amazon, link included in the show notes. You can subscribe to Angel's YouTube channel at Angel the Happy Vegan and follow her vegan journey on Instagram at Angel the Happy Vegan. As always, links to connect with Angel will be in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus and visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email, didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.